It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Let's turn to the Genesis chapter 2. Verse 15. So hope we can finish this chapter today. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15.
And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it.
When you read this scripture, the man was already there, and then God says, okay, now I'm going to give you in charge of this garden. You have to dress this garden, mean cultivate, and keep it. Keep it means keep from all the enemies. When you are keeper, doorkeeper, or watchman, your job to not to allow anyone to destroy your garden. That was his job. So take care of the garden and be watchful that nobody could come and destroy this garden. Genesis chapter 1, when you read from verse 26 to 28,
and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
When God says, we are going to make man according to our image, and what we're going to give him dominion over all the fish and the cattle and everything. He will be having control, power over them.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
See, now here also he says, subdue it, and have dominion over everything. That means God made the man according to his image, his likeness. Our God is a creator, and God has power over everyone. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. So now God says, he said, now I'm giving you dominion. I'm giving you power. Subdued everything. Take in charge of everything. And when he says, now I'm going to put it in this garden is belong to you. And take care of it. And let not anyone to come to destroy this garden. And that was his job. Let's go to the chapter 2, verse 16.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die.
Now see here, he said to him, the commandment with a warning. Not only he gave commandment, but he gave him warning. He said, I have given this garden to you. Every tree. We learned that every tree was giving good food. It was good to food. It was good to sight. Everything was beautiful, and it was given to mankind. Now he says, every tree is given to you. Everything you can eat freely. But at the same time, he said, now I'm giving you commandment, and with the commandment, I'm giving you warning. The tree with the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt eat not. Otherwise, what's going to happen? He said, you will surely die. Adam was very smart when God created him, even though he did not see any death. But he knew when God says, when you disobey me, you are going to surely die. See, sometimes when you give the command and people don't listen to you, and then you say, okay, I let you go this time, and the second time, and third time, then what happened? People don't obey you. They keep on breaking the commandment. Our God is not like that. When God says, don't do these things, if you eat, you will surely die, and God, whatever he said, it happened. Now let's read the verse 18.
And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him."
Now, when we read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, we already read, he made them male and female. And now here he says, the man should not be alone, so I should make him a helpmate. God made the man first, and it's true, and all the animals, but when you're reading in this chapter, sound like God made the animal first, no, man first, and then animal later. When you read a little bit further, then I'll explain to you. Please read verse 19 also.
And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him.
Now see how it sounds? It sounds like God made the man first, and then after he made the man, and then he created all the animals and everything and brought to him, and they said, now name them. That's what it sounds like. But go to Genesis chapter 1 and start reading from verse 25.
And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good.
See here, God created everything in the beginning, means that's the sixth day. Sixth day he made every creature, including all the animals and everything. Now, but the second chapter he is giving in detail. So he already created all the animals and everything. And here what we see, when he created man, he created male and female, but in this chapter he's giving a little bit in detail. So when God created all the animals and the helpmate was not created, so what God says to him, okay, all the animals are created, I'm going to bring it to you and you name them. What God wanted the man to find out, if he has any companion, if he has any helpmate. And so he called all the animals, each and every animal, bird and everything, the man named them. Can you imagine how much he has the wisdom? And whatever he named, we are the one we learn from it. And so he gave the name to everybody, but he could not find any helpmate. Now today the man is saying, the scientists and all these people are saying, we came from the monkey. Now here the word of God says, even the monkey walked in front of him. He named the monkey, he named the gorilla, he named all kinds of animals. He could not find any helpmate. And but these people are saying, we came from monkeys, so we know we have to tell these people, when Adam named every animal and they came in front of him, but he could not find any helpmate. He could not find anyone like him. And so God created all the animals. And last week we learned, if you remember, each animal is different. The flesh of the sea animal is different. The birds are different. And all the land animals are different. And so you cannot take any animal's blood and give it to each other. It will not work. And so the monkey's blood will not work for us, because we are not created from monkey, but we are created by God. Chapter 2, verse 18, we read, he says, I want to make him a helpmate. Now the people are saying, the dog is man's best friend. But the dog, even though he's a man's best friend, he cannot do everything what your wife does. One man's wife died and he says, oh, my dog, she's my wife. I did not say anything because I didn't want to go in a filthy thing. When your heart is pure, everything is pure. Now, why he said he's that that dog is his wife is between him and God. But I want to tell you, any dog will not work as a wife. Why? Because your wife cooks for you. Your wife does laundry for you. Your wife goes shopping for you. Your wife does so many things which dog cannot do. Dog only can lick you and only show the tail like this and go around you, and that's all they can do. And if the enemy comes, they can bark and make a lot of noise. But your wife is not a dog. If your wife is more than any animal you can find, you cannot find any person like your wife. That's why Adam looked everywhere and he could not find any wife. Now, the word of God says, when you will be reading in the chapter 3, the snake was the very smart animal. And the animal, he was walking on his feet. And so I believe the snake was much more better than gorilla or anybody else, because he was not having four legs at before that. The day he deceived the mankind, God cursed him, and the word of God says, now he lost his hand and feet and everything, and he starts crawling. So the point I was making, even the snake, before the curse, Adam could not find as a suitable helpmate. So if somebody is saying, well, my animals better than my husband or better than my wife. There was a one lady used to come to our church, and she had several cats. I'm not saying anything against animals, but I want you just to comparison. Now, this lady was saying, her husband said, I hate cats. She said, I love cat. And so she said, I'm going to give you divorce, but I'm going to keep my cat. See how foolish sounds? But when I met these people, then I talked to the lady. I said, listen, your husband should be first. Your husband you love first, then your cats. And thank God she understood. When her husband was dying, she called me. And she said, my husband is dying. I should have said to her, well, let him go. You need cats. You don't need your husband. But I went and prayed for him, and God healed him. The point I'm making, but now people are divorcing husbands, divorcing wives, and they are going after animals. And now people thinking animals are much more precious than the people. If you hurt any dog or cat, you go to jail. But if you abort your child, you don't go to jail. They can abort your daughter's child before they can even tell you. If she's 13 years, 14 years old, and she got a baby, and she's going to school, they can abort the child, and there is no guilt. But if you hurt a cat or dog, you will go to jail. So what I'm trying to say, the people are, their mind is now more corrupted, and they are thinking they are much smarter, and they are much good people. They care about animals, but the same people, they hate mankind. God says, okay, Adam, you want to love any animal? I give you freedom. The man would have said, gorilla, I choose as my wife. God would have said, okay, the gorilla is your wife. That's what you want, that's what I give. Because God would not fight with him, because God has given us a free will. But at that time, he said to God, I could not find anybody like me. Okay, let's go back to the Genesis chapter 2. Verse 21.
And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man.
Now see what God did. Our God is a surgeon. You go into surgeon when you have a problem? Nothing wrong with that. But if you go to surgeon who drinks, who is not godly, he can do something wrong. Lady goes for the right breast cell cancer, and the doctor takes the left breast. left breast. They say my leg, left leg is hurting or some cancer is there, and they cut the right leg. They make mistake. Why? Because in X-ray, everything looks upside down. And so if they don't have good training, they make mistake. So many doctors makes mistake. But our God never makes mistake. He is the greatest surgeon you ever saw. He did not give any anesthesia to this man, just said, go to deep sleep. And he slept. And God did the surgery. It's not an easy thing. Even the 21st century, ask any doctor how many doctors do rib surgeries. If you get hurt and your rib is broken, doctor doesn't bring another rib and put it there. They cannot do it. They will say, oh, it will heal automatically. You go home and you will be all right. But God is creator. So he took the rib and he created a female out of it. Now, I don't know where he took it, to the lab or somewhere, because he took the rib and he says he brought it back to him. So he took it somewhere. Now here, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God, working on this woman. And you know, if you put a man there and a woman there and take a picture of them, who looks pretty? The lady looks prettier than man. Man looks macho, this, that, they have beard, they have mustache and hair, short hair or whatever, the bulky body or whatever. But the girls, they look pretty. They look so pretty. That's why men get attracted to girls. So here God made that woman so pretty. Man was formed from what? Dust. But the woman was formed from the flesh and bones. So it needs a lot of carving. It needs a lot of shaping. And God did all these things for you. So the ladies are special. They should be thankful to God that God made me so beautiful. And so don't go to doctor and change your beauty. Whatever God has given to you, keep it. If you go to doctor for any reason to say something is wrong in my body and I want to make it better, it will be worse, I guarantee you. It might look better for a couple of days or a couple of months. It will be worse and you will have more problems. So live with what God has given to you. Just like today, they do the surgery and keep the camera on and let the man see what surgery they are doing it. And some of the surgery, man can see what they are doing it. And so I don't know if God allowed him to see what he was doing in his sleep, or he was giving him dream what he was making. I don't know. But when the lady was brought to him, see what he's saying. Let's read verse 23.
And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.
See how he came to know? I don't know. He was visualizing when the God was creating her. But whatever, as soon as God said, this is your helpmate. So he inspired to say, this is my flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones. She is a woman taken out of the man. So he understood. See how much wisdom he had? And so he could find out the lady, the wife, the helpmate was made from his rib. The ribs are given to us to protect your heart. So God takes one of the rib and makes the woman and then gives it to him. And he understood, this is my flesh and this is my bone. God did not take some bone from your head and made the woman. And what the woman would say? Hey, I'm head. You be under my feet. Or if it were taken out of under his foot, the bone or flesh, and made the woman. He can make it anything from anywhere. The man could say, hey, you are under my feet. God took you from my foot. But God is so much wiser than us. He took the rib from your heart. What does it mean? Your wife should be closest to your heart. We take care of our heart. Your heart is not pumping the blood, you are dead. And so God gave you the helpmate closest to your heart. And that's why in our language we say, Ardhangini, that means half part of the man. God made the woman for man. Now some ladies are going over the man's head. Let's go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8 and 9.
For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man.
The man is not taken from the woman. The man was first. Woman came out of him. And so the ladies has to have some sense. My husband was first. And then I came from him. Without him, I won't be here. So you have to love your husband. And then he says, God did not create man for woman, but the woman was created for man. Why God gave man choice? God says, okay, go and find a helpmate. If he would have said, I want gorilla, God would have said, gorilla is your wife. But now, when man says, well, I don't want this any animal, I want a real helpmate. Then what God did, God took his own rib, means the man's rib, and made a woman for him. And so, now he says, God has created woman for man. Man was not created for woman, the woman was created for man. So what we have to say, you have to give respect for your husband. My husband is first, and I came from him. Why I came? He says, I'm going to make a man helpmate. The woman supposed to help husband. Wife has to be thinking, I am my husband's helpmate. How can I help him? The more you help your husband, the more your husband will help you. They want something for them, and they don't want to give anything for husband. That's where the problem happens. So we have to think, God has made man first, so I am going to listen to my husband. I am going to love my husband. I am going to help him in the whatever the way I can. And then, if you get a sick, if you are pregnant, and if you cannot do anything, your husband will help you. You don't have to tell him. Some husbands, when the wife get pregnant, they get labor pain. When the wife is already, I'm having cramps myself. Why? Because they love the wife so much. They love the wife, though, so they get the pain for themselves. And then they will start working. Honey, don't do anything. I'll work for you. I'll cook for you. I'll do this thing. I'll do the dishes. Don't lift anything. I'll take care of you. How it works? When your wife helps you, then you will be helping her. Ask my wife. I don't have to brag. Ask my wife. When she was pregnant, I did not allow her to do any work. Thank God I knew how to cook. So I can cook everything, I wash dishes, I clean the house, I do everything. My wife worked until she delivered the baby. She never took a day off. But I helped her. If she's sick, I would not allow her to do anything in the house. So that's the way it works. So it works both ways. You have to give respect to your husband, then you get respect back. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. If you salute somebody, they will salute you. If you give somebody a glass of water, they will thank you. So it should go from you first. If you need some respect, you give respect to people. As soon as the woman came to him, he realized, this is my body, this is my flesh. Let's go to the Ephesians chapter 5 and read from verse 26.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself.
See, when you love your wife, you're loving yourself. What does it mean? That is your rib that is taken from you. When you love your wife, you are loving yourself. So that means God says that wife is a weaker vessel he made for man. So man needs help, then he should take care of the helpmate. Otherwise, helpmate will not be helping. Read the following verse.
For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church.
Now he says, no man hate himself. Now they are crazy people, they hate themselves. They take the blood and they cut themselves, they kill themselves, they take a drug, because they are not in their right mind. That's why people kill themselves and destroy their bodies. But here he says, if you really in good mind, you will not hate your body. So each and every person loves their body. How many people spend so much time near the mirror? Why are they spending time near the mirror? Because they love themselves. They want to see them handsome and pretty and things like that. And so here he's saying, the man will not hate himself, man will love himself. So if the wife is your body, so you will be loving your wife. You have to consider that is your flesh. If that person is spiritual, if that person is God-fearing, then he will take care of you. He will think, this is my helpmate. You will think, this is my husband. He is my head. I am his body, and I'm going to take care of him. Let's read the following verse.
For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones.
He says, we are member of his body. Whose body? The Jesus body. We are belong to Jesus Christ. We are his flesh and we are his bones. Just like Adam says, looking at that girl, he says, you are my flesh and you are my bone. The same way that Jesus Christ is saying, you are my flesh and you are my bone. We are belong to Jesus Christ. We cannot be separated from Jesus. If you read the Romans chapter 8, it says, who can separate me from the love of Christ? No one. So once you are sold out to Jesus Christ and you start glorifying God, but when you are depressed, looking after man or looking after girl and not getting somebody, and I'm 50 years old and I'm old. I saw one lady, 55 years old, and her husband was a professor where Bible school. And all of a sudden the husband died and the lady started crying. I went to her house and I told her to come to my church. She came to church. She said, my son is 39 years old. 29 or 39, I don't know exact time. So somebody, that girl, had a boyfriend. And so her boyfriend took a bat and hit her husband's head. This man was an engineer. And now he's a helpless man, cannot do anything, no job, nothing. The mother is taking care of this boy. The husband already died. So she comes and tells me, Pastor Peter, I don't know what's going to happen. If I die, who will take care of my son? I have brothers and sisters. And so she was 55. And she said, who is going to marry me? I said, I'm going to pray. You start coming to church. She came to church. She got saved. She got baptized. See, professor's wife was not saved. Husband never told her about born-again experience. When he gone, I led her to Christ. And once she baptized, she started coming to church. I said, I'm going to pray for husband. And I prayed. And one day somebody came from Texas where she was working. And somehow she might have told the story. The man says, don't worry, I'll take care of you. And she got married. She called me from Texas. I got a husband. He will take care of me and my son. And I left my job and I'm happily married. That's the last phone call I heard. After that, I don't know what happened to her. But the point I'm making, I prayed for her and God did a miracle for her. What I'm trying to say, once she sold out to Jesus, God says, I'll find a man for you. You don't have to worry. Doesn't matter what age you are, God will supply your needs. So don't worry about the husband and wife. And once you are sold out to Jesus, he knows your need. He said, before you can call me, I will answer you. Before you can ask anything, I know your desires. I will give it to you. And somebody said, oh, I'm asking this many years. You may be asking something wrong. You're looking for outward beauty, but you are not looking inward beauty. So the point I'm making, don't look outward beauty. We are the children of God. We should be sold out to Jesus. We should be one flesh with him. We should be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And we should be sold out to Jesus Christ. God knows your need. If you never get married, so what? Hannah was what? She was over 84 or 90 years old. And when she saw Jesus Christ, she was happy. She never said, hey, my husband died and I never got married. As soon as husband died, she went to church. She stayed in the church. She served the Lord. And she was happy. Now, just think, you got married 7 husbands. And nobody treated good. Oh, I married Indian. It's not good. Let me marry Italian. Italian might be good. Italian is not. Let me marry Spanish. Spanish. Let me marry African. African is not good. Let me marry somebody, all the nations, and who can satisfy me. And nobody will make you happy. And when you die, what happens? You go to hell. Because you didn't have time to pray. You didn't have time to seek the Lord. You are looking busy looking for husband. So now you will be going to hell and looking all those 7, 10, 15 husbands sitting there. But you will be not able to do anything because you will be burning in hell for eternity. But if you do not have husband and you go to heaven, you will have eternity in heaven. In this world we are for what? We are here to be living pure and holy life. If you start living filthy life, this world is not going to last too long. This life is not going to last too long. This life, even though you are healthy, 120 years, that's it. Compared to eternity, it's too small, that somewhere. But God has given us eternity. So if you really want husband, don't look for husband. Look for Jesus. If you want wife, look for Jesus. And Jesus knows everything, what you need. There are people getting married when they are 95. Somebody says, are they crazy? You know the man who sings for Billy Graham? Ask him, what time you got married? He will tell you. So point I'm making, if you really, really want companion, God will give it to you. The old people now, they're going in disco dancing. They are taking, marijuana. Niagara or Viagra. All these Niagara, Viagra and all these things they are doing. Why? They want to be young. And now they are getting AIDS disease in their old age. They never learn that their life was wasted. Now this time at least call upon God, but they're calling upon medicine. And go to their house. They might have 10 to 15 medicine in the cabinet. And one after another, all the medicine they take, and that medicine is killing them and destroying them. The point I'm making, we have to love the Lord. We have belonged to Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Genesis, chapter 2, And start reading from verse 24 and 25.
Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
See, for means if you are a married man, never live with your mother and father. If you live with your mother and father, your marriage will break. Somebody says, oh, my mother-in-law loves me like her own daughter. Wrong. She might be loving you, but she may not love you like your husband. Don't let anything come in between you and your husband. If your mother is the best cook in the world, don't tell your wife. Don't tell her, my mother cooks better than you. Never tell her. Otherwise, don't get married. Stay with your mother, eat mother's food, and be happy. If you want to get married and your wife is not a good cook, be happy. Learn to cook together. Buy some books and learn together and cook together. And whatever mess of food you make, eat and say, thank God, this was delicious. You are not marrying your wife for the delicious food. One man married to one girl and says, oh, I love you, I love you, I'll wait for you for how many years, doesn't matter. After marriage, so you don't know how to cook. So, why did you get married? To make your wife slave, to cook for you and do things for you? You have to learn you are marrying somebody for life. Otherwise, don't get married looking at beauty. Look in her Christ, Jesus. And when Jesus she has, she will have a smart mind and everything. Even though she doesn't know how to cook, she will learn to cook. If she doesn't know anything, she will learn. Just she has to love her husband and win the husband's heart. The man will kiss her feet and man will do anything for her. But if you start kicking him, his kick will be more stronger than yours. Love the husband, he will love you. And so the word of God is saying, you better get out of your mother's house and father's house. Oh, but my father has an 8-bedroom house and a 10-bedroom house, so he can give me an upstairs and nobody can bother us. Sir, get an apartment, 1-bedroom apartment. You don't have any children. Stay there happily. Otherwise, your husband's father will be your boss and the mother-in-law will be your boss and they will ruin your life. And so that's what the word of God says. Leave and cleave. Then you will have happiness. Otherwise, you will have problem all along. Somebody says, but if I leave, my father will give this house to somebody. Or my mother will not give me a house. Who cares about house? You care about house or you care about your husband and wife? If your husband and wife together, you can make 10,000 houses. You stick around to get mother or father's house, your life will be ruined. So that's what the word of God says. Leave your mother and father, cleave to your wife, be one flesh, and stay together and live together for the glory of God. Verse 25.
And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
They were naked and they didn't have any shame. Do you know if you give birth to your baby, the baby comes with a cloth? No, baby comes naked, the boy or girl. Now here in America, we have lots of money. So we put the diapers as soon as the baby comes. Go to the poor country. The baby not have diapers. And those babies, girls and boys, and they are 2-3 years old, they play together. And they are not ashamed. They don't know what these organs are. So they're not concerned. They play and they don't worry. They don't feel shame. They don't feel disgusted. No, mother and father, they don't do that. They take care of them. They wash them and clean them. And even though they're 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, they don't feel shamed. Children don't feel shame. And so why? Because they have innocent mind. And these people were naked, I don't know how many years, when God created them, there is no record. It sounded like God created them the sixth day, seventh day God took a rest, and eighth day devil came. That's what sounds like. When you read the third chapter, sound like next day devil comes. No. They were living this holy life for years. How do you know? Because there were trees there, years and years, and the scientist goes and cut the tree and find out how many rings are there. Oh, this tree is a million year old. And somebody says, but the world was created, God, for 6,000 years. When we say 6,000 and 7,000 years, calculation came. Until the man committed sin, there was no count. The man committed sin, that's the time they counted how many days after that man lived. And that's the way the age was counted. And after their children's age was counted. But Adam might have lived a million years. We don't know. Or maybe a billion years and didn't know. And didn't find that he's, naked or she is naked. When they found out, then we'll learn more next week. Shall we rise? And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You have created us for your glory. We are belong to you. We are the flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And our wife and our husband is flesh of our flesh and flesh of our bone. So Lord, give grace not to go after strange flesh, but recognize that God has created a man and woman to be together for life. Give us grace to live for you and for your glory. We commit our lives into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.